Good morning, human beings. It's Sunday morning, July the 2nd, 2017. I have not done a sober, serious podcast in a while. I have avoided these in the last few months because I haven't really been in a place where I wanted to talk about anything that serious. I figure real life is serious enough and people's daily lives are fucked up enough. Why do you need to hear any of my shit, really? And, you know, there's also this truth that a lot of our problems in our lives seem kind of important and dramatic from our own perspective. But if we step back and we recognize that there's lots of people out there who have struggles. And more importantly, people have had struggles throughout history, you know, good times and bad times. You know, it's funny, we think a lot about the golden age of America being like the 1950s and the early 1960s. You know, it's some people would say it began at the end of World War II and ended when JFK got shot. That was sort of our golden age. And maybe that's true. You know, some people think that the golden age was from 1870 till 1913, that there was a period of time when America was free and ordinary everyday people could start a business and actually be successful. I don't want to talk about golden ages because in any one of these golden ages, you can find a dark story. Specifically in the 50s, 40s story, you can find the narrative of Charles Bukowski and the Beat Generation. And you can understand that there were lots of people that were rather disaffected and rejected the kind of bland conformity of the 1940s and 50s and early 60s. I say all this because it's good to have a little bit of grounding before one talks too much about human pain or human misery or the angst or the existential crisis of the soul. Because again, like I said, it's easy enough to become myopic. It's easy enough to see one's own problems in terms that are not realistic. I read an article this morning about a Native American, not a Native American, actually a Canadian Native tribe, a tribe in Canada, where the youth are committing suicide at a startling rate. And the rate is so high that the Canadian government has decided to send in the Canadian Rangers. And I don't want to go into specifics of the story because I don't think it's necessarily lurid. It's worthy of journalism. It's a worthy topic to investigate. But if you're interested, research it yourself. You should be able to just go to Google and type in Canadian Rangers suicide natives. And I don't doubt that you'll find a link to many articles on this topic. The story itself doesn't really shock me. What shocks me is that I've reached the point in my life where I've begun to ask the question, is suicide more than what we're told? You know, basically, there are many versions of suicide. One version is people who commit suicide are quitters. And I don't know. That might be true. I suppose life is kind of like a game and or an opportunity or a journey or any number of things. And to kill oneself, well, you're basically ending the game early. You're not really playing according to the rules. Nobody gets to exit. So suicide is bad play. It's foul. You know, you're not supposed to escape the game too soon. And then for some, suicide is an aspect of a mental illness, a pathology. There's something wrong with you because not only do you think about killing yourself, you actually have done all the work to actually get close to doing it. And I understand that perspective. I've never really met someone in my life that was suicidal for completely irrational reasons. Most of the people I've met in my life who've wanted to kill themselves were actually going through some pretty terrible shit. And in those circumstances, I've always tried to be the cheerleader, you know, saying, hey, this is fucked up, but you'll be okay. And up until maybe quite recently, I could have been that person. It's one of the reasons why I haven't wanted to talk about anything too serious in the last few months, because I don't know if I have it in me to be that person any longer. I'm not the person who's going to tell you that. I'm not the person who's going to cheer you up. So yeah, there's two interpretations of suicide thus far. Fuck that. I haven't had any coffee yet, as if that matters. But there's these two interpretations. One interpretation is, well, you know, it's quitting, it's being a coward. Another interpretation is, well, it's mental illness. Just take a pill for it. Take a drug. The third interpretation, which doesn't involve quitting and doesn't involve mental illness, is the one, well, it simply is your choice. I'm not saying people should kill themselves. I'm not saying suicide is a legitimate choice from my perspective, but I do think people have the right to make their own choices. I believe in freedom. I'm an anarchist. I don't believe the government has any business telling you what to do or how to live your life. So even if suicide were illegal, which I suppose it technically is illegal to kill yourself, it's really not the government's business whether you decide to or not. You're not a resource to anyone but yourself. You might have a commitment in religious terms, and that's between yourself and your God. But as far as the government goes, you don't owe the government one fucking thing. And as far as the social contract goes, the social contract has about the same weight as any form of original sin, which is to say that if you believe in the social contract, then one thing is certainly true. You can't possibly be an atheist because there is nothing scientific about it. So there is no social contract that binds you. There is no agreement amongst people that says you have to live until you die and you have no choice. The fact is, the third interpretation of suicide, for me, is the one where I don't know that I would do it, but I think I understand. I get it. I get why people reach that point. I've gotten very close to that point myself. I have gotten close to the point where I've thought about killing myself. And in those moments, people will come up with arguments like, well, Dan, if you do, look what you'll miss out on. Well, here's the deal. When I was in my 20s, that argument was more compelling. In my 30s, it was still kind of rational and seemed to make sense. I'm almost 50 years old. And when I look out across the landscape of my future and I ask myself, what is the next 20 or 30 years going to bring? Because I'll be honest with you, I know that people say, hey, we'll all live to be 150. That's bullshit. That's total bullshit. Actually, life expectancies in the developed world are starting to go backwards. That's a little factoid they don't like talking about. But life expectancies are starting to go backwards. So for all the money we've spent on health and wellness and plumbing and showers and drugs and quote-unquote, you know, available food in all the grocery stores, for all the wealth and economic power we have, it is a fact that life expectancies are beginning to peak and go backwards. And in some countries, it's getting quite ugly. So when I look 20 or 30 years into my own future and I ask myself, what is more likely? That I will live a dignified life of a human being, devoid of the controls of a, you know, overbearing state that wants to stick its tendrils in every part of my being? That's one possibility. That I will, you know, be able to escape that bullshit? Or is it going to be kind of just a hellish nothing place? Is it going to be a dark, giant, ugly black donut? You know, do I have an opportunity to be free, or really is it just an opportunity to slowly die? Right now, working a normal job in America feels like a slow motion death. Sure, if I had kids, if I had a wife, if I had a reason beyond my own sort of pathetic existence to fucking keep, you know, eking out day-to-day life, I'd say, okay, you know, let's do it. Let's do it for Johnny. But the fact is, I don't. You know, most of the people I know have their own families, and that means they have their own problems. Most of the people I know are barely staying alive themselves. And if they have any excess wealth, for psychological reasons mostly, they're choosing to participate in the same schemes that will likely destroy them. Most of the people I know that are still committed to the middle class fantasy are very deluded and confused people. And I don't necessarily blame them for that, because if you're connected to that fantasy, if you have to make money in that fantasy, and until 5-6 months ago, I was one of those people, you know, it's hard to open up your mind and even entertain the thought that all of this bullshit could come to an end. So the quote-unquote successful people in America today that aren't actually wealthy, they're just quote-unquote middle-class successful, which isn't a very large group, these people are also very confused people. And so having conversations with them about, well, you know, is life too painful to endure? Is life something that, you know, you want to put an end to personally? Well, they're not going to talk about that. Not because they're not suicidal, but because they're already crazy. I mean, in that sense, they are mentally ill. They wouldn't even put the question into their head because it wouldn't make any sense. How can you reject this fantastical future that, you know, fucking Ray Kurzweil and all these great geniuses have predicted? How can you reject the Tesla electric car GMO, take 50 vaccines and shove a pill down your gullet and some sort of object of your butt future? How can you reject that? But I can tell you bluntly that I'm almost 50 years old, and I don't really believe my life is going to get better from here. I don't think most people's lives are going to get better from here. In fact, in all likelihood, we are on the verge of probably multiple historical events that will radically change the nature of human conditions for us. And whatever we've gotten used to in the normal suburban food is always delivered on time America, well, we already know that shit's coming to an end. Have you actually tried to get good quality service these days? Have you actually asked why, you know, people are basically going for direct logistical delivery versus going to a restaurant? The things are falling apart. The whole system is falling apart. All that's left is the beating heart that pushes the shit into your home, something like Amazon, for example. All that's left is the shit pipe. That's it. And when the shit pipe goes, that's basically going to be it. So what is this future people see? Do they see the world getting better for themselves and their kids? Do they see an opportunity to fall in love again in their 50s or 60s? Do they think they're going to get peace of mind, that they'll have a period of relaxation? Do people honestly believe they'll retire? And I don't mean retirement in that kind of gangster sense where you're driven out to the fucking Pine Barrens and a bullet to the back of the head. I think that kind of retirement's coming for a lot of people in the metaphorical sense and the concrete manifestation sense. No, a lot of people believe they'll retire, that they'll be heli-skiing in their 70s, that they'll be surfing in their 80s, that they'll be dancing sambas and all kinds of crazy ass shit, and that they'll live this life after 50 that looks like a fucking Disney movie. But that's pretty much bullshit too. So here's the deal. I don't know how to counsel somebody right now on the question of suicide. If someone were to come to me and say, Dan, should I kill myself? Other than the fact that I'm a religious person, although I certainly am still more of a sinner than I am anything else, but I am religious. Other than the fact that there's a Lord in heaven you'll disappoint, and it's possible, based upon certain interpretations of the Bible, that if you do this, you're going to go to hell. Other than that, why would you hold on? If you're like me, if you're a white male, late 40s dude who's divorced and alone, and basically the legitimate part of your society is telling you that white males are the most evil thing in history, why the fuck would you hold on? If your society is telling you you're rejected, that you're worthless, that you have no value, that you are by birth responsible for great historical crimes against so many peoples, why the fuck would you hold on? That's the question I can't answer. I wish I had an answer. I wish I could say, well, what about the poetry of Robert Frost? Or what about that really great, you know, restaurant you like in Tampa? I wish I could mention shit like that. Well, isn't it fun to go on walks in the countryside? None of these things are part of my reality. When I was living in Washington State, and I moved back there for 7 years, I grew up there, I was away for a long time, and then in 2007, right in time for WAMU to implode, I moved back to Washington State. And I have to say, it was a terribly, it was a terrible experience. It started out kind of okay and it ended horribly. And when I would, when I was living there, I would watch, you know, basically the world around me crumble. You know, when I first moved there, there were 5 grocery stores within a 1 mile radius of where I lived. By the time I left, they'd all basically been shut down. And half of them were thrift stores or abandoned, you know. That's the reality I saw with my own eyes. But how do you communicate that to a person that believes that everything is normal? How do you communicate that to people that can't see past their own front porch? So yeah, I have a hard time with this question now. You know, there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, where I would say life above all else, that, you know, choosing your life and living your life and seeing value in your life is the point, and you're here and you're here to do something. But to do what exactly? What I've done most of my life is participated in a broken system. What I have done most in my life up until maybe the last few years, but quite certainly the last few months, I have been a player in this fucked up game. Not a very big player, just a tiny little code monkey piece of shit player. But I've been one of these people that showed up at work and did my job to keep the fucking bullshit going. And the first form of suicide that I did choose was my kind of economic social suicide. I no longer wanted to participate in this bullshit. So I have been, for the last few years, especially since my divorce, trying to figure out ways to escape from that, to divorce myself from quote-unquote normal society, whatever the fuck that means. Normal society thinks we should go to war with Russia. Normal society is heavily diseased, but normal society is also, you know, it is what it is, and it is what we're told we're all supposed to attain, normal. So this is a tough question. And I don't have any easy answers. I can't be a cheerleader. I can't tell you that 30 years from now, stuff's going to be here that you want to be here for. You know, I quit smoking cigarettes when I was 31 years old. And ostensibly, I quit smoking because I thought, well, I'll have better health. I'll live longer, live a fuller life, you know. The thought that's occurred to me in the last few weeks is, why don't I start smoking again? Other than the money, other than it's, you know, it's not a cheap habit. But if you take out the fact that it's not cheap, why the what the fuck reason do I have not to smoke a cigarette? That's the dilemma, not for people with kids or people with lives, because even in those hell holes, people can get suckered into situations that feel horrible, and I can't speak to that. I can't say that every family is a good family and every situation that involves relationships is better than being alone. In fact, being with other people can be its own hellhole. What I can say most absolutely is, when you're alone, when no one depends upon you except for the state, and that's my situation, the only entity that is constantly contacting me, that is constantly interrupting my life if I venture into the fucking world, that is constantly taxing me and listening to my fucking phone calls, the only entity that consistently cares about me on planet Earth, because of course there's the Lord in heaven, but that's a separate topic, is the state, the government, the system. They care, but they happen to be something that disgusts me. They happen to be something that makes me want to fucking vomit. So if you wake up and realize that the only entity that really gives a shit about whether you live or die on any consistent basis through the vagaries of time and relationships is the state, then you have basically come to realize that you're living in hell. And I don't know that there is a suicide from hell. You know, one of the sarcastic conclusions I came to a couple of years ago is that I died in my sleep because shit had gotten so fucking ridiculous. I figured, well, you know, maybe I died in my sleep and I ended up in hell because I'm not a particularly bad person or good person, but I'm far from perfect. And I don't think that I'm, you know, necessarily deserving of heaven. I spent most of my adult life as an atheist, so it's hard to see how that works out. But yeah, a few years ago, 2015, I thought, fuck, maybe I died in my sleep. It was a joke. Ha ha. But I look around the world today, and I think about this article about these, you know, these native kids, and I wonder to myself, yeah, maybe the suicide thing is just a bit more complicated. Maybe it isn't as simple as good people choose to live and bad people or weak people or sick people kill themselves. Because that's essentially what we're given as the options. You can be a good person and choose to live at all costs, even if you're dying horribly of some illness. Or you're a bad person and you're weak and you're sick and you decide not to hang on through anything and everything. Good people are always seeing the nice and wonderful things about life, and bad people only see the shitty things. That's essentially another kind of narrative. I know that one from personal experience. I'm fairly convinced that people that claim to care about me in my life, and I won't say more than that, have essentially held the opinion that if you don't see this life as being nothing but a Disney Wonderland, if you don't see the government as being a helpful friend there to help you out and watch over you, then there's something fucking wrong with you. You know, why don't you see the government as being that helpful entity there to help you and lift you up? And why don't you see life as wonderful? You know, CNN says life is great, and all these fucking news outlets are saying the economy was great, and the only thing bad are Republicans or Democrats and blah, blah, blah bullshit. The fact is, you can see with your own fucking eyes, and you can hear with your own fucking ears. If you think that things are going well in America, or for the most of the developed world right now, that human civilization's heading in the right direction, I think you're crazy. I think there's something fucking wrong with you. I don't know how anybody, except for a fool, could say those things and believe those things. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think that Marduk is going to return or a Planet X is going to hit us. I don't think that it's anything like that. I think it's human frailty at large. I think it's human ignorance and hubris. I think it's the same old fucking story. You know, one interpretation is that we've had about 150-year party on relatively cheap resources, and the party's coming to an end, but nobody wants to talk about it. So we paper it over with, you know, paper. We print lots of money. We get into lots of debt. You know, we have a society, a government that fosters debt. Of course, that only works in the short term. It can't possibly work in the long term. Debt doesn't do anything to generate resources. But it gave us the illusion of prosperity, at least a couple more decades worth. And now that that particular game is near its end, and we have, you know, states like Illinois and others teetering on bankruptcy, I don't know. I mean, what's the next argument for the people that say everything's okay? That there's some weird technical issue that if we fix it, everything will be fine? What is this technical issue? You know, some people think universal basic income. Give everybody money for a job. Well, here's the problem. If you think that's going to be given to you for free, you're a fucking moron. You know, slave, you're given this universal basic income and you will be controlled. They will tell you what you can spend your money on. They will tell you how to live your life. If they want you to put a TV set in your home that has a camera that can watch you, guess what? You'll fucking do that. So universal basic income is one of these things that pops up and people say, well, you know, that way people can explore themselves and not stress out about, you know, their economic situation. Okay. I mean, firstly, I think having struggle is not a bad thing. You know, there's different kinds of struggle. There's the struggle against nature, which is the one we're all committed to when we're born into this world. And then there's the struggle against human ignorance and evil. And that one is fucking optional. We don't have to have evil, corrupt, tyrannical governments. We can actually just be free. So that particular situation is totally fucking optional. You can even figure out ways to escape the system. That's not so easy. It's not so easy, depending upon how old you are, depending upon how many resources you have. But it's not entirely possible, impossible, and in the short term, to escape the system. But, you know, where would you escape to? You know, there really isn't a place. There is no place you're going to go to be completely sort of secure in your freedom. There are lots of little edges on the board right now that nobody cares about. That's because the board is in play. That's because the major tyrants of planet Earth are all in competition for what's out there. But when that particular situation resolves itself, they'll look to the margins. They'll look to the little corners. They'll look to the tiny islands in some fucking Central European Republic that people declared as anarchist island or something. They'll go to Christiania in Denmark. They will revisit the Amish peoples and the Native American tribes. But you need to listen and understand this. When they're done carving up the rest of the planet, they're going to carve up everybody else. If you don't understand that, you're a fucking moron. And add that to the list of reasons why someone like myself wouldn't want to spend any more time on this planet anyways. It's possible that we're surrounded by stupid people. It's entirely possible that our prosperity of the last few decades, if not the last century and a half, has allowed for a huge parasitic class of people that simply cannot live without being slaves. It's possible that we have domesticated the human being in a way that is not good, in a way that does not help. I don't know. I look to my friends and family, and very few of them exhibit the characteristics of individuality. But there's lots of me too-ism. There's lots of groupthink. There's lots of, well, the government told me X, and therefore I believe X. There's lots of that. Anywho, this has been kind of a long-winded rant discussion podcast, and I don't want to go off any further, but I'd like to just crystallize a couple of things if I can before I disconnect for the day. Firstly, I don't think a person's a bad person for contemplating suicide. I don't think that makes you bad or evil. I think that there are things about, you know, contemplating harming others that can be considered pathological and evil. You know, I think we all have thoughts of harming our neighbors at times in our lives, you know, for various slights that we envision, various things that we think have been done to us, but we should choose peace and we should not choose violence. But when it comes to suicide, violence against oneself, I don't know the answer. You know, a person could make the argument that committing suicide is an act of violence against your community, because what you're really saying is that you think your community is fucked up. You could make that argument that an act of suicide is a repudiation of your human society. And who knows? Maybe that is the case. Maybe suicide is wrong because it's this ultimate sort of big finger to friends and family and society, basically telling them that you failed. From my perspective, whatever you thought you were fucking doing that you thought worked, guess what? I don't have any choice about that. I can't stop you from being a fucking moron, but I can choose not to participate. And the final act of non-participation, once you've tried to escape the economic system, which, like I said, isn't so fucking easy, maybe even impossible at this point in human history, when you've run out of ideas and there is no escape, no exit, what's left but suicide? What's left but basically staring into the abyss and saying to oneself, you know what? I do repudiate this life. I repudiate this society. I repudiate this government, absolutely. I repudiate this bullshit contention on the part of my peers that I owe them anything. I owe them nothing. They owe themselves everything, just as every free person does. But I owe them nothing. I owe them nothing. I do not owe them my obligation to the state. There is no obligation that I owe anyone to simply be a slave. At that point, it's difficult to make the counter-argument. At that point, what are you going to tell somebody? That you should keep living in this hellish existence because it might get better? Listen, if you're living in the Soviet Union in the 1930s, and someone says, well, it might get better, you don't know if that means that the USSR is going to last 10 more years or 50 more years or 60 more years. You don't know. Sure, there might not always be the terror. There might not always be the Joseph Stalin killing millions of people all the time. But don't tell me that the Soviet Union suddenly became a great fucking place because of Khrushchev's secret speech. Don't be a fucking moron. After 1956, living in the Soviet Union, yeah, it didn't involve as many mass killings, probably because they'd already killed too many people. Because the one thing you still need in any government is people to obey you, at least until you invent robots. So if you're living in that situation and you've seen the hellish aspect of it, and now you're expected to say, well, it's gotten a little better because we're not murdering as many people, Dan, you know, we're not murdering as many anymore, any longer. How do you argue against that person killing themselves? If they have kids, if they have a family, if they have someone they love, if they have any tangible expression of incorruptible meaning that is connected to themselves, that is another thing. I mean, a human being can make a life out of almost nothing if they have to. But when every single, you know, scintilla of what makes a human life meaningful is stripped away and all you're left with is a bullshit cave room with a door and a big screen TV and an endless litany of lies day in and day out, what the fuck argument do you make? That's the question I have this morning. It isn't that I think suicide is okay. It's just that I've run out of arguments against it. You know, not for everybody, not for people with kids, not for people that have taken on obligations that, you know, put them in a position of care for another person. I can't force them to live, but I can see the position of wanting to live. But when you're alone and you're stripped of everything and your dignity is zero and you live as a slave and your only options in the normal economy is to basically keep living as a slave, or to try to find an escape hatch and then end up living as a criminal. And oh, by the way, I find living as a criminal to not be romantic at all. I don't think pirates are cool. I don't want to live the life of a criminal. The fact that I may end up living the life of a criminal is because I might not choose to kill myself. And when you think about that, that too is interesting. That the only paths left for someone like myself is suicide, or to basically work in the black market economy, to be completely separate from the state, which means ultimately cutting ties potentially with every single person you know. And on a functional level, with respect to the people you know, how would that be different from suicide? I mean, I'll leave you with this thought experiment, but imagine a situation where a person was living in, you know, America, just like today. And they had friends and family, and over time their situation got worse and they no longer became a functional part of society. And the only choice the person saw before them was the sort of the choice I put before you, which is, you know, suicide or essentially separation, which means escape from the system that is killing you. If you truly escape, if you truly find a way out, if you end up becoming like the book people in Fahrenheit 451, you will likely have almost no contact with the people from that previous life. You will likely have virtually no relationship as they cling harder to the tyranny and the bullshit and the manipulation and the disease. You will be drifting further away. So the simple question, the simple thought experiment in that situation, what is, from the perspective of the people that stay slaves, that stay in the society, what is the difference between suicide and escape? If from their perspective, you're basically escaping, you're gone. They can no longer guilt you. They can no longer control you. They can no longer act as conduits of information. They can no longer ask you about your situation on Facebook. If you completely separate yourself from that world, are you not, in a sense, dead, if not at least socially dead from their perspective? Have you not committed suicide from their perspective? And have you not leveled a repudiation against their fucking world? What is the real difference between suicide and simply disappearing in such a way that you might as well be dead? That is a question I don't know the answer to, but it is likely a question that I will be thinking about over the next few months and years. Because the journey I'm on right now, for all of its potholes and failures and, you know, horses with broken legs, the journey I'm currently on is going to pull me further and further away from people who are connected to the quote-unquote normal world. And is that not functionally equivalent from their perspective to suicide? Now, if your contention would be, well, Dan, you don't care about them. Well, actually, that's not true either, and that's why life is fucked up and complicated. You see, I don't care about all of them equally, but I do care about most of them, and I do care about friends and family from this other world. And to accept the idea that to truly be free at this point, I would have to have no contact with these people ever again, that's a big decision. That decision is almost as big as suicide itself, to basically choose to disconnect from quote-unquote the normal world. In many ways, I think people that, you know, I don't want to say this is going to sound mean, but in many ways, I think people that know me and know others like me, I think they'd prefer us just to kill ourselves, because if we kill ourselves, we're essentially reinforcing their paradigm. You know, hey, they couldn't fit, and things that can't fit, you know, go away. You know, they would have an answer. Dan was sick. If only he'd been on Prozac. If only he'd been on the right kind of drug and the right, you know, sort of regimen. If he'd eaten the right vitamins or had enough kale, he might not have had these dark thoughts. Maybe. What I can tell you is that if the choice is between participation in what I consider to be a morally reprehensible set of relationships, this current country, this specific government, the United States government, if the choice is between obeying it or disappearing off the radar or blowing my brains out, obedience is already off the list. I'm not even capable of it. I wish I were. Well, that's not true. I'm not capable of it. I've tried obedience. I was in the army once for 3 years on active duty. I really tried to be an obedient slave. I've never been able to do it. So even if obedience were a way through, I'm just not capable of it. So I guess I'm leaving you with this basic question. Is there any difference between suicide and separation? If by separation I mean the complete separation of oneself from the society, the family, the friends, the economics, the structures of the quote-unquote civilization that one currently inhabits, assuming such a thing is possible, you know, with the exception of becoming simply a criminal. If separation like that is possible, then what's the difference? There really isn't one. I mean, from the perspective of the individual who's making the choice, if there is no life after death, then suicide is simply turning off a switch. If there is, that's a whole nother topic, and I don't want to get into that subject, because I think it's complicated in ways that's far worse than just the basic question of suicide. So, is there any difference between separation and suicide? Is there any difference between choosing to end one's physical life and choosing to end one's social, economic, political, structural life in the choice or the hope that something else is somewhere else, that there's something else, someplace else, somewhere else better? I wish I knew. I wish I could be uplifting and say, oh, you know, I will tell you all the good reasons, and here are the good reasons. I wish I could do that. I don't have those good reasons, not today. I can tell you that if there were people in this world for which those reasons should be argued, it would be these children, like the children who are killing themselves in this, you know, tribe in Canada. It would be the young people who kill themselves, because that is, in a way, extraordinarily tragic, because life has only just begun for these people. But for someone at my age, at this point in my life, I don't consider it tragic at all. You know, I could easily get a heart attack or die of cancer in the next few years. My sister Nancy died of cancer at 43. You know, this happens. People die. You know, there is no magical pill that's going to allow you to live forever. So at this point in my life, what am I living for? To live out my youthful years and get married and have kids? I'm almost 50 years old. Those things are not going to happen. I know we love to tell each other that it's never too late, because that way we can all feel like it's never fucking too late. But that's also a kind of bullshit. My life in the normal world came to an end in 2013. My life in the normal world ended when my marriage ended, because that was the last thing that kept me connected. That was the last thing that sort of forced itself upon me on a daily basis to try to find the positive side of this fucking nightmare we live through. That isn't there. So there is nothing. There is nothing. There is no great computer science project. There is no great novel. There is no great reason for any of this. You know, it's possible that God has a plan for me. It's also possible that God's plan is for me to be scenery, for me to be one of those things in the picture that actually gets destroyed. We all serve a purpose. Some of us might be props, you know, props, objects to be obliterated as part of the tale, as part of the drama. You know, I know everybody wants to believe they're going to be kings and queens and princesses. I know people want to believe that we're all going to be, you know, these important heroic figures because everyone gets an A. That's just not real. The fact is, today, tomorrow, yesterday, lots of people are driven under the wheel of history, and you will never know who they are. You will even support institutions that hide the truth, that give you fake deaths, fake murders, fake tragedy to cover up the real thing. That is far closer to reality. Anyways, have a great Sunday.